Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is Internet Marketing. Welcome back to the show, where we give you the lowdown, the inside information, the word from the experts to help you use the internet as part of your marketing machine. Internet Marketing is brought to you by AI Digital at www.ai-digital.com. In episode 38, we cover PHP Dynamic Text Replacement with Daniel, and we talk to Jason Woodford, Chief Executive of AI Digital, about corporate social responsibility and how to communicate it via the internet marketing channel. Hello everyone, Andrew White here, and I'm sitting with Daniel Rowse of, not Academy Internet, but the new name, AI Digital. Dan, what's been happening in AI Digital in the last week?
Well, we've had our brand launch. We had a big party. I had about 100 people along, which Andy attended as well, to launch the new brand, the new AI Digital stuff. So that was a lot of fun. So thank you for anyone that came along. And we've posted some pictures up on our Facebook group. So if you do a search in Facebook for AI Digital, you will find all the photos of all the kind of drunken debauchery and speeches and so on and so forth. So that was quite fun.
I was there, so I can vouch that there was some quite interesting goings on. He did a very interesting talk, Dan, this week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I did a talk for the Guardian London Graduate Fair. And what it was loads of students coming along that are about to graduate or have just graduated that are trying to look at where they want to take their careers. And we did a talk on basically what it's like to work in digital media. And it was a roundtable kind of panel discussion. It was chaired by Kevin Anderson, who's the blogs editor for The Guardian. And we had Alex Hens from 33, Mike Parsons from Tribal DDB, who are both big agencies, and Sarah Linfoot, who is the head of content for The Guardian as well. Some really interesting people there, know the industry really well. Just talking about what it's like to work in a digital agency and kind of what skills you need to be there, which was quite interesting to me because we have a graduate kind of trainee program. And it was kind of interesting seeing the students' point of view on what it was like to actually work in the agency. But also from a client point of view, we thought it might be quite interesting just to briefly talk about what you actually, well, how the agency works internally and how the staff actually get trained up and what their skills need to be, so on and so forth. Because you find that the stuff we do and the stuff we talk about in the podcast, we're all learning all the time. And one of the key things about digital marketing is that we are all learning so quickly because the market's changing so much. So, for example, something we're going to talk about today from a search engine optimization point of view, I learned this week. And I thought it was really useful, so we're going to share it in the podcast. And we were just really pushing across to a lot of the students that lifelong learning is one of those things that you have to really realise is going to happen in digital media because it all changes so quickly and it's just a reflection of our industry. So, yeah, so it was a very interesting talk. There's lots of stuff up on the Guardian website about it. So have a look at some of the Guardian blogs if you want to find out about it. And just on a side note, if there's any kind of students out there that are listening, some graduates, we are recruiting at the moment for a couple of trainees as well. So get in contact if you're interested.
Fantastic. Now, Dan, I'm just interested in this name change. So it's now AI Digital.
That's right.
Are you still doing pretty much the same things?
We are. The reason we've changed is that we essentially before had an e-learning part to the company and the kind of search and digital agency part of the company. The e-learning part of the company has gone off and has continued with the Academy Internet name, and they're completely focused on e-learning. And we've merged up with a company called Site Visibility, who are a very specialist search company. So we are now basically a full-service digital marketing agency, just as we were before, really. But we've just tied the branding together of the two companies and just moving things forward. It just allows us to modernize things a little bit.
Now, in today's little chat, we have got a couple of interesting topics to cover. They're both SEO related. One of them is length of content, isn't it, Dan? And a very interesting one about images and search engine optimization. But that first one, Dan, length of content, what's that all about?
Okay, had an email here from a guy called James, who's basically just asked, he's read lots of stuff about, and we've talked about it before, that for SEO, you should have 200 words plus of text on the page. Okay, now the logic behind that is there's enough content on the page so that Google and the other search engines can get their teeth into the page and really understand what your page is about, and there's some content there for them to understand. But Jakob Nielsen has argued that you should keep your text very short and sweet. Just to explain, Jakob Nielsen is the kind of industry usability guru. He's very much respected for usability and how you should use web pages and best practice and so on and so forth. Now, I've mentioned before, I think Jakob Nielsen is fantastic. Some of his research is absolutely amazing. But if you look at useit.com, which is his website, when you take usability best practice to the nth degree, you don't use a lot of images, all the text is blue underlined, so on and so forth. Now, that's all best practice, but it doesn't make for the most attractive looking page as well. So Jakob Nielsen is coming at it from a pure usability point of view, not from a kind of aesthetic point of view at all, really. But at the same time, he would argue, I'm sure, that, you know, if you get the usability right, people use the web pages, so it makes commercial sense as well. So what Jakob Nielsen says is that you should keep it very short and sweet, and there shouldn't be any more content than you need. Okay, so there's a trade-off between the two things. And what the question is basically saying is, should we have lots of content for the search engines, or should we just keep it short and sweet? The bottom line answer is the page should always be done for the user, first of all. So Jakob Nielsen's idea of keeping it short and sweet is actually really the right approach. Ideally, you do need lots of content then for the search engines. So if you look at Jakob Nielsen's website, if you do a search for usability in Google, Jakob Nielsen comes up third and fourth. Okay, so that kind of demonstrates that even if some of your pages are really short and sweet, you will still rank well. Now, the reason for that is that on useit.com, you'll find lots and lots of pages, a few kind of levels deeper down within the site, that have got masses of content, and it's original content. Now, because of that, there's original content, and it's in detail, and it's not reproduced anywhere else. Google sees it as really important because lots of people link to it. Okay, so basically, if you've got enough inbound links to your website, you can get away with breaking some of the best practice rules in terms of on-page optimization. So we've discussed before, you should get your page titles right, you should have a fair bit of content on the page, you need to get your headings right. A lot of this stuff, you know, it's really important, but if you have got original enough content and enough people are linking to it, you can actually get away with breaking some of those kind of rules. So think of the user first. And we always use this rule of thumb. If the page reads like it's been optimized, then you've gone too far.
Daniel, what does an optimized page read like?
Well, this is the question. I mean, if you read...
Sorry, let me rephrase. What does an over-optimized page read like?
I mean, I think the thing is, okay, if you see a phrase repeated again and again, I've seen so many examples of it where you've got this shopping page is to bring you the best information on shopping because shopping is really important to us. And if you want to buy things online, our online shopping page is really, and it's, you know, this page has been optimized for the word shopping. It's quite clear. So it's important not to do that. Always bear in mind the user first. But make sure you've got original content that isn't reproduced anywhere else, people will link to it if it's useful. And there was an interview with Matt Cutts from Google that I was reading online the other day, and they were basically talking about link building. And Google is very much against paid links, against links that are created for the sake of getting them. And the general issues in the interview were basically saying, what's going to get you the best quality links and the ones that are going to have the best longevity are when you create original content and you put it up on your website and people will link to it because it's useful to them. So it's relevant to your audience. Now, an example they gave that was good and was bad was that lots of people are creating Facebook applications to get links to their websites because people link to the Facebook application, say it's useful, you can download it from here and so on and so forth. If that's relevant to your target audience, that's great. If it's just a Facebook application about something nothing to do with what you do, it's not so good. So the example they gave of best practice was eBay created one, Facebook application plugs in, and you can monitor all the auctions that you're currently working on when you're using Facebook. Useful to the user, relevant to eBay at the end of the day. So that was a really good way of, you know, they produced that and lots of people were linking to the page that you could download it from. lots of other people are creating bits and pieces of content that aren't related to what they do. So they get lots of links, but Google won't value those links as much because they're not relevant to actually what's going on your page. So the main argument of what Matt Cutts was saying was like, great, create original content that's not reproduced anywhere else, but make sure it's useful. And so the most useful things are when people have done research. So another example, somebody went out and said, what's the best webmail for filtering spam? Mm-hmm. And he went out and he looked at Gmail and Hotmail and all the different Yahoo Mail, those different things. And he did loads of testing. And he sent loads of spam and he tested the results and then he published the results. Now, that was just legwork. He put in some legwork, created some research that wasn't anywhere else, put that on his website, talking about, you know, email. Lots of people linked to it. So if you get good quality content, it means that you can get away with breaking some of the best practice rules in terms of length of content on the page. Hence why Jacob Nielsen is number three in Google, although some of his pages are very short. So to make a very long answer very short, basically, the most important thing is to do what's right for the user. If you need a short page, keep the page short. Just make sure the quality content is on your website so you get the links.
Let's move on now down to that topic of images. And I believe that we've had another email. Tell us about that one.
Okay, this came across because we're rebuilding our website at the moment because of the rebrand, the AI digital rebrand. We're kind of moving across having a new, prettier kind of website that's a bit more functional and standards compliant, all that kind of thing. One of the issues you always face with search optimization is that Google obviously can't understand what's in an image. It just sees a lump of image. Now, when you've got headings and titles on your pages, you really need Google to see those headings and titles. But they won't ever look as pretty in a kind of page, web page font as they would if they were drawn up in a graphic. So you have this issue then that if you've got images with text in the image, Google can't read it. So there's always a trade-off to be done generally between design and search optimization. Now, we have a new guy working with us, Simon Wallace, who is a web developer, and he's very passionate about standards compliance and best practice and usability and those kind of things. And he showed me something that I hadn't come across before. I worked in web development for years, and I'm sure you know a lot of the web developers out there will be aware of this, and some may not, and I thought it was useful just to draw this up. Basically, it's something called PHP Dynamic Text Replacement, which is a bit of a mouthful. But what it allows you to do is, essentially, if you have a heading on the page, the heading will show to the search engines as a heading as normal, and the text will be within the source code. But when it is rendered in the browser, i.e. when the user actually sees it, that text can be replaced with an image. So it can look pretty as well. So you can basically look pretty and be good for the search engine. So I just wanted to talk through how it works. If you do a search on PHP Dynamic Text Replacement, you will come across all the relevant bits of code. It's open source, free bit of software. So what you do is you take this JavaScript file, so .js file, and you put it onto your server of all your web pages. Then when your web page loads, you just call this script. And all the examples for doing this are on the page you'll find if you Google PHP Dynamic Text Replacement. And we'll put the link on our new website in the next couple of days as well on the podcast page. Okay, so you call this JavaScript on the page. And then what it does, it goes through the page and it looks for any element that you've identified. Now, in this case, you can say it's an H1 tag or an H5 tag or a paragraph tag, anything like that. And you just nominate one of those. And what it will do, whenever it finds an H1 tag, for example, it will read the text. It will send that text off to a bit of PHP code, which means you need PHP running on your server to run this. Okay, and it will, on the fly, so in real time, it will take that text and create a graphic of that text in whatever font you say. So it's really nice. So it automatically takes your H1 tags, goes off, creates a graphic, and then sends that graphic to the browser. So what you end up with are very pretty, nice-looking headings on your page, but the code that goes to Google just sees the H1 tag as normal, can read the text. Now, the issue with this is that it looks a little bit like, you know, it sounds a bit like redirection. Google's seeing one thing, and the user sees another. Having looked into this a bit and some feedback that we've seen from somebody, one of the engineers working at Google that had presented a discussion about this, their opinion, and this isn't absolute law, obviously, but their opinion was basically what you get on the page is what's in the code. It's just displaying slightly differently in terms of the actual markup of how it looks. So it's not a problem. It's not trying to fiddle Google in any way, shape or form. So it's a really nice workaround. And it's the first time I've come across this, that you can actually make the page look good, but still be really search engine friendly. So it's definitely worth having a look at. We've gone through on this new website we created, all the headings are done using this. And you'll see they're images, but they're created on the fly. And it's done so quickly, you don't really notice it when the web page is loading up.
This sounds absolutely amazing. So you're actually using it in Anger on your new website?
Absolutely. All the headings throughout the website and the telephone numbers and all sorts of things like that are actually done on the website. So if you go to the new ai-digital.com website, you will see all the headings on there, the ones that are generally in orange, are actually graphics. But if you look at the source code, you'll see they're all H1 tags. So it looks really nice, works the search engines, and we'll see how we do in the search engine rankings over the next couple of months.
So, Daniel Rouse, thank you very, very much indeed. Just a quick word about the new website, Daniel.
Yeah, we've just launched up this new website for the new branding that is much more standards compliant and so on and so forth. If you look on the front page, you will see a link to the podcast from the front page of the website. And we are going to start extending out the podcast section and do all the things we've been talking about doing for so long in terms of adding feedback forms and so on from there. So the main contact form on the website, you please use that. Give us some feedback. ai-digital.com, you'll find it there. And look at the podcast section. We'll have some notes in there. Each time we do one of these recordings, we'll put up the links and so forth and so on from there.
So the URL has changed accordingly as well now, Dan. So it's no longer academyinternet.com. It is ai-digital.com.
That's right. Academy Internet, you will find our e-learning division there. So there is a link through to our main website. So even if you go to academyinternet.com, look on the right-hand side, top of the page, and you will see a link to the ai-digital.com website. Otherwise, just go to ai-digital.com and you will find our new website there.
Fantastic. Thanks very much, Dan.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Well, here we are on a very rainy Wednesday morning, and I am with Jason Woodford, who is the chief executive of AI Digital. Jason, it's been a long time. How are you?
Good morning. Warm and dry.
Now, we're going to be talking about CSR, which stands for Corporate Social Responsibility, and its link to internet marketing and what one can do through the internet marketing channel to demonstrate your CSR-ness. Now, I know that you're pretty fresh back from the Royal Albert Hall, aren't you, Jason? You went to the 2008 Business and the Community Awards. Was that pretty good?
It was amazing. It was on Monday night, and the annual awards for corporate social responsibility. Companies like Marks and Spencers, Lafarge, Co-op, Family Investments, you know, the big EDF Energy, the biggest companies in the UK, all celebrating great good practice around CSR. Interesting thing was, it was all the boards and the chief execs of those business. It's a main board type issue. And
planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It was great to see a few advertising and marketing agencies there starting to engage, and it was an excellent evening. That was the award that we won last year, and so we had to hand over our award to the Beacon Press or Pure Print Group, who are also based in Sussex. So congratulations to them.
Fantastic. Now let's just start from the beginning. Let's just make sure we understand fully what this means. CSR, of course, stands for Corporate Social Responsibility. What is a good definition, Jason, in your eyes, in your view?
Corporate social responsibility is about how companies engage and they manage their business processes to minimise their impact on society, or even to maximise their positive impact on society. So in the past, there have been organisations like Cadbury's or the Roundtree Foundation, you know, Clark's Shoes, you know, the family type businesses that had a lot of responsibility towards their workforce. Through the sort of 1900s and the 20th century, you know, companies became much more business focused, and many said they lost touch with, you know, their responsibilities towards their employees, towards the environment, towards the community. And recently, it's become a really big thing to get back into that, because the companies have recognised big business impacts for not actually engaging with employees or stakeholders or supply chains. And there have been some big, you know, corporate problems with, for example, you know, the issues around pollution with the oil companies, around sustainable supply chains or suppliers in third world countries for retailers, around construction businesses who are building motorways and people don't want the motorways in the back garden. And all of these are different examples of how an effective CSR or corporate social responsibility strategy can help to minimise or mitigate or avoid having issues like those in your business. So if you do have issues like those in your business, it's going to cost you a lot of money. And this is all about risk management. And it's actually about running a good business.
Now, I know we've already touched on this, but can we just reiterate why it's important that companies embrace this and then obviously make it visible to their sort of followers that they're embracing this sort of strategy?
I mean, I firmly believe that in a couple of years' time, CSR, corporate social responsibility, it just will disappear from the vocabulary, because it's actually all about running a good business. So if you want to run a good business, you're interested in what are your customers interested in, you're interested in what are your employees interested in, you're interested in your suppliers and your supply chain. And what we're able to do is manage the risks around your reputation as a business, you know, to help you avoid getting into problems which will tarnish your brand, your reputation, your customer base. And so, I mean, also, for example, you look at the graduate recruitment marketplace. Young graduates these days ask a lot of questions about their employer. What are they doing in the community? You know, do the products and services have a positive impact on society? They actually ask these questions, and they'll positively select employers who do those things and avoid those who don't. So if you're in the game for attracting great talent, it's really important to have business ethics and a strategy around responsible business that allows graduates and new talent and new employees to engage and feel like they want to be a part of your business.
Now, Jason, I'm very interested in the role of internet marketing and the use of the internet in sort of letting people see how you're implementing CSR. How does that work?
Well, traditionally, when you're into CSR, the biggest output and deliverable of the year is your environmental or your sustainability or your CSR report, which is like an annual report. It's a thick document, normally printed on recycled paper, but it's produced and it's direct mailed out to all of your stakeholders. And in many cases, that's it. That's a one-off communication. It might not even get read. What the opportunity is for digital agencies and for clients is to use digital to engage in an ongoing basis, in an ongoing way, using podcasting, using blogs, using web communications, using emails, using e-learning, you know, using all of these online techniques to communicate in a sustained way with targeted segments of their different stakeholders. It's a way to have an ongoing relationship and an ongoing conversation with your stakeholders. Mm-hmm. It's something that you absolutely cannot do in the offline world in such an effective way.
Can you give me some examples of some companies with great CSR strategies, Jason?
Sure. We've got some great examples here in the UK. I mean, the three that I would pull straight off are the recent and current winners of the Business and the Community, you know, Big Company of the Year, Marks & Spencer's, with its Plan A program that's really allowed it to differentiate itself in the marketplace and to, you know, create products that customers actually want. BT, which was the winner last year, with its programs that are targeting youth and helping the youth of the UK to become more educated, to become engaged, to get jobs, be more employable, become the talent within the economy that we need them to do. You know, great programs at BT. And this year, with an incredible example from the Co-op Financial Services, you know, this was a business who has actually embedded climate change and CO2 reduction in all of its products and services. You know, some of the facts that I learned on Monday included that 2% of their pre-tax profits were invested in communities, and their CO2 emissions since 2002 have been reduced by 72%.
That's amazing.
I mean, that's an incredible amount of change. And I mean, for example, their mortgage policies have as a core product benefit, they include carbon offsetting in mortgages and car insurance, and they've really taken it to the nth degree in terms of embedding it in their products and services. And as a result of that, they won the award this year, the really prestigious award for the largest impact, the best impact on society for large businesses.
It really does sound to me that CSR is something that has to be woven into your, I suppose, psyche and business activities and your communication, rather than something that is separate. It's just woven into everything, really, isn't it, I suppose?
Absolutely. I mean, it can't be something that stands on the periphery of your business. We give some tips out to businesses as to why we won the award last year for having the best CSR strategy among small businesses in the UK. And the first thing is to have a look at what you're already doing right now. We found that when we looked at what we were doing, we were spending 50% of our net profit on community type donations, a bit of pro bono work here, giving some time here, doing a free bit of work here. It added up to 50% of our net profit. So what we did was we did an audit, then work out actually what do you want to do, and choose a small handful of things that you really want to do. So, for example, we chose talent's important, work with the local university. Environment's important, so we work with the Sussex Wildlife Trust. Young people are important, so we work with Young Enterprise. And we've got an interest in alcohol and drug rehabilitation, so we work with Action for Change. And we only do our work with those four charities. And so we haven't got a lot of money to spend, but we're able to focus that very limited budget on a few companies and organisations and charities, so that we do a lot better, and we can really focus on it. And it needs to be embedded in your business strategy. So why are we involved in the University of Brighton? It's about it's about talent and about getting great people into AI. It's very strategic for us. It's about employee engagement and about retention of our employees, helping them to to do more in their day job than just do their work. They're actually having a positive impact on the local community, which means a lot and makes a lot of a difference for the team. Someone needs to own it in the business, and it can't just be the chief exec or the MD. Getting other people engaged and involved, get them to own the strategy, to undertake the activities. Marketing people naturally do that really well. Marketing people are great people to own the CSR strategy, so it gets embedded in the marketing plan and becomes part of the conversation that you have with customers, begins to be involved in new product development and new services get developed, like our Learn and Donate product. It's very, very important that it's not a superficial bit of fizz that happens on the side of the business. It's got to be, if it's going to be effective and going to be meaningful, going to be something that people can trust and relate to and believe is actually happening in a credible way, it needs to be right in the centre of your business. And if you do it, there's a big prize to be won. It's all about trust amongst employees, trust amongst customers and clients and prospects, and you're engaging on a global debate about really important issues. And, if you've got a good plan in place, you're actually doing something positively about climate change and corporate responsibility.
A question that I've got is, I know a lot of people that own very, very small businesses, like one-man bands and two- and three-man bands. What can they do to be more sort of socially responsible for the very small business?
Well, a couple of very, very simple things are to choose a charity or a campaign or an issue that has some relevance to your business, and establish a relationship with them and work with them. Sit down and create an annual plan, treat them like a client, and aim to achieve a certain amount of things during the year with that charity. Make sure that your people, even if you've only got one or two people there, make sure that you communicate externally about what you're trying to do. Try to focus on how to help your chosen charity to, what are they trying to achieve? Are they trying to grow, trying to generate donation revenue, trying to create new products or services, trying to achieve their goals? create PR, create lots of marketing around it.
That's really interesting, actually, because that reminded me of something that I was working on a while ago and got, to an extent, pushed to the back shelf because we got very busy. But I was working with a local charity who helps homeless people. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like a very good area to go back to and formalise a bit and think, well, hang on, let's set some goals here and check what they're trying to achieve.
You should go back and revisit that, because that's exactly what people realise when they look at what are they doing in terms of CSR. Find something that you enjoy, find something that you feel some connection with, something that you can have an impact on, focus on it, create an annual plan, celebrate your successes, become enthusiastic, involve more people in it. And because you're only doing that one thing or the two things that you want to choose to do, you can do them really well. If you spread yourself too thin and try to help everyone, you're not really going to help anyone, because you're not going to be able to have a real positive impact. So maybe we should work together on that project.
Maybe it could become another podcast. Okay, let's move on to... I know that you're working on some interesting projects. There's one in particular I want to talk about. I know that you can't talk too openly about it because it's a little bit under wraps, but let's talk about some of the interesting things that you're doing and what's happening in the future.
Okay, well, I mean, we've done some research and development over the last year, and we're about to launch a completely new service called Learn and Donate. And it's targeted at charities and what we call CSR brands, so large companies that have a strong CSR program. And we're actually looking for launch partners right now. And these might be companies with a strong association with a charity or a particular social campaign or a social marketing campaign. Or it may even be a charity. And we're already talking to a number of charities about how we go about piloting some projects like this. And the aim is, using our e-learning and our search engine marketing and our web design capabilities, you know, we can help those charities to convert intellectual property into e-learning courseware, to generate revenues for the charities, to generate donation income for the charities, and to generate membership income and people for those charities. And there's a great win-win there for the CSR brand and for the charities. We've got some great ideas, and we're just looking for some companies that may have already planned this in their marketing plan this year or their CSR plan this year. We've got a great way to actually, you know, create a huge amount of value add, where instead of just marketing, instead of just doing some awareness and interest raising marketing with direct mail, we're able to take the marketing to a different level by introducing education into the marketing. And these are education about campaigns for charities and for brands. And it would be great if any of the listeners are involved in a company or a charity like that, and just to contact us and be happy to talk to them about it and potentially work with them on those. But it's something that we're looking for right now. We're looking for a couple of launch partners, and that'll be happening in the next couple of weeks.
So if there's anyone out there, I know that we've got contact details at the end of the show, but it's just to repeat, the telephone number is, Jason?
It's 01273 in the UK, so it's 441273 733 433, and ask to speak to me, to Jason Woodford, and I'd be delighted to see if there's some mutual opportunities we can explore.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for that. And so, of course, that's the CSR, which is corporate social responsibility. It's a very important thing, I think. Jason, I'll leave the last word with you.
Sure. Well, very interested to find out whether digital marketers, internet marketers out there are engaged at all. If you are, have a look at our new blog, which we're just starting to develop. So please be easy with us. It's at ai-digitalcsr.com. Have a look at some of the articles, some of the tools, some of the tip sheets that we've got up there. Post some comments and let's start to develop a debate around digital CSR.
Jason Woodford, Chief Executive of AI Digital. Thank you very, very much indeed.
Thanks a lot, Andy. See you soon.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Now, we would really like to hear from you. So if you have any questions or comments, send them to info@ai-digital.com, and feel free to send in MP3 files as well, and we'll play them. If you're a subscriber, we'd like to thank you for your valuable time. If you haven't subscribed yet and you'd like this show delivered to your earbuds automatically, you can find Internet Marketing on iTunes. Just search under the Business and Marketing and Management categories. Or you can find us at Feedburner at feeds.feedburner.com/academyim. We'd also encourage you to leave comments on iTunes. Well, this is Andy White signing off, wishing you the best until we see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.